The reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and it's found on page 1083. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fantastic. Let's pray together. Loving Father, thank you that your word is a light to our feet. And as we think about plans for the future, we are aware that we need your light, that without it, we're stumbling around in the darkness. And yet by your grace, you've given us just the light that we need. Help us to listen and to shape all of our plans and priorities around your plans and your priorities as spoken to us in your word. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So it's a slightly different talk to normal. We, as Andy mentioned at the start, we've been working through Isaiah. Oh my goodness, I have so been enjoying Isaiah. I hope you have as well. Don't worry, we'll be back with Isaiah again next week. But we're just taking a week out to think together about the future. It's a good thing for us to do. And as I hope we'll see, we're at a particular juncture as a church family where it makes a lot of sense for us to do this at this point. As we do that, I hope that there will be a response of excitement. I hope it will provoke discussion. And I hope, above all, that it will lead to an earnest calling on God together. Because we are the family of God. We're not a secular organization. And ultimately, we are in his hands. And we want his will for us. There's going to be a Q&A after this talk. I'm going to speak for about 20 minutes, and then there's going to be a chance for any questions. So if you go onto that slido.com on your phone and then just type in Trinity Plan, you can ask questions away, and that means that I get them on my phone down here as well, and then we can answer those questions at the end. If you prefer the old school, put your hand up at the end, that's also fine. So we'll do that at the end of the session. I've already actually given this a version of this talk at Holy Trinity Morning Congregation just earlier today. And I hope as we go through this, it'll be obvious why we've done that, why I've done that as well. So anyway, before we get to all of that, let's just cast our minds to the day before Jesus died. And he is there in it's a small upper room with his 12 closest friends and devoted followers. He's sharing the last Passover meal that he will have with them before he dies. He knows that his time is coming to an end, that he's going to die on a cross, he's going to rise from the dead, and he's going to return to the Father in heaven. He's leaving them. And as he speaks to them, he casts a vision for his followers. It's a compelling vision, it's a demanding vision, and it's a vision that echoes beyond the walls of that upper room those years ago and has rippled out among his people ever since. It's a vision that we inherit and are called to live out as well. Here it is in two verses from our reading. This is John 15, 4 and 5. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, do you see the big idea? You, as my people, must be rooted in me. And when you do that, you will be fruitful for me. So, rooted. He says, remain in me as I remain in you. Now, before someone personally trusts in Jesus, we are like a lifeless branch. Okay, our sin has disconnected us from God, and we have no lasting life in us. It's like, to kind of use the branch picture, you sometimes see it when you go for a walk, a branch has been wrenched off from the tree, and it's lying on the floor, and there are leaves that are still green, but you know that they're not going to stay that way. Gradually, over time, they will fade and die, and that's us. We have so much life, and yet we are fading and dying. And that's because we've been cut off from God, the source of life. And yet the good news of Jesus is that he came on a mission to seek and save the lost, to reconnect us back into the vine so that we might be fruitful again. When we trust in Jesus, we are reconnected into him in a personal relationship that begins now and goes on into eternity. It's a relationship we enjoy as we hear him speaking to us in his word. The Bible is his spirit breathes new life into these words, into our hearts. And as we ask him, as it says, verse 7, ask anything in my name, we speak to him as a father in prayer. That's what it means to be rooted together in Jesus. And goodness me, those 12 disciples in that upper room, they have got a lot of work to do together. And yet Jesus is saying, for all the stuff you're going to do for me, unless you are rooted in me, it is going to count for nothing. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, there can be no fruit without roots. So first question, are you rooted in Jesus? Have you come to him to receive his life? If the answer is no, not yet, or I'm not sure, then he says, come to me. This is free. It's offered for free, this new life through Jesus. If the answer is yes, Then the answer is remain in me, as he says in verse 5. If you remain in me and I in you. And then there's that wonderful promise. Verse 5. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Isn't that an amazing promise? This is, sometimes we want to read bits of the Bible as challenge. And we read this, we think, oh, I've got to try to be more fruitful. But that's not what he says. He says, look, such is the life-giving power of this vine, Jesus, that if you are rooted in him, fruit will be inevitable. You will bear much fruit. And some of us are thinking, I could never be fruitful for Jesus. I don't have it in me. You don't know what I've done. My life has been hard. This is not me. But Jesus says it's a promise. You are underestimating the life-giving power of this vine if you think that. If you're rooted in him, there's an inevitability to the fruit that will emerge. You will bear much fruit. Okay, rooted in Jesus and fruitful for him. What is that fruit? Well, very briefly, it's to be shaped together into the likeness of Jesus. Okay, so that we grow the fruit of his amazing love for God. He loved God, and we share that. His passionate love for other people. His zeal for those who were far away and lost. That grows in our hearts as well. His character, beautiful character, his contentment. That fruit grows in us, and it ripples out wherever Christ has called us. So verse 16, Jesus says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. In other words, this bearing fruit isn't a passive thing. It's an active thing. We go together to bear fruit. So this is his vision for us. As he's in that upper room, visioning his disciples before he returns to heaven, he says, this is the plan. Rooted in me, fruitful for me. That's true for individuals. It's true for churches. To be living together in a life-giving personal relationship with Jesus that bears fruit. Now listen, just before we get into the specifics of our vision, two things that we just need to say about this. First, very common misunderstanding of the Christian life is that it's all about the fruit. Okay? We're chasing after the fruit. We think, well, being a Christian is just about living a good life. So I try my hardest. And we chase after the fruit, but we forget that the fruit is only possible with the roots. Unless you first come to Jesus and remain in him, it's like trying to sellotape apples onto a tree. You've got to be rooted. That's the heart of the gospel. Not try and live a good life, but come to Jesus and receive his life. Second thing, in a kind of, you know, visioning exercise like we're doing together, it's really easy for us to chase the fruit, to say, well, we'd love to be like this, we'd love to do that, wouldn't it be amazing? But to forget about the root. And the reality is, unless whatever God calls us to, we remain rooted together in Jesus, we cannot bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so this is the foundation of our specific plans. It's fundamentally what we are meant to be all about. Okay, rooted in Jesus and fruitful for him. So, some specifics. We are entering a new chapter of our church life together. Duncan has been vicar of Holy Trinity for 34 years. That's a long time. Now, anyone who knows Duncan, who's here with us today, has encountered a godly, committed, faithful minister of the gospel, and we celebrate the wonderful work that he's done for Christ over a long period of time in this town that we all know and love. This September, Duncan will hand on the role of Vicar of Holy Trinity to me. Duncan will remain in a supportive role for a further 9 months or so until his retirement in May 2025. The diocese have very unusually agreed to a smooth transition such that there'll be no gap at all between Duncan finishing and me starting. In fact, there'll be a 9-month overlap so that we can kind of transition in a sensible kind of way. They've agreed to a single candidacy interview process, which will happen this summer, for a September start to that new role for me. So just to summarise up there on the screen. That means from September, Holy Trinity and Trinity at Four will be brought together under the same leadership in a much more straightforward kind of way, which presents us with a wonderful opportunity to become, as we learned with the kids just now, one church family rooted in Jesus and fruitful for him. Now, I just want to briefly set out three elements of what this is going to look, what we hope this will look like for us in the months ahead, and then we'll have time for Q&A. So first then, serving together with the same vision. We've briefly thought about the kind of core vision, rooted in Jesus, fruitful for him. Now there is much more to say about that, and we'll be digging into that together a bit more in the months ahead. But needless to say, if we want all of us, existing morning congregation, Trinity at Four, to be together, in spite of, you know, different temperaments, different kind of stylistic preferences, etc., etc., we're only going to be able to do that if we share a compelling vision. Okay, so that's the goal, to serve together with the same vision. Secondly, to unite together in the same church family. So currently, Holy Trinity and Trinity at Four operate functionally almost entirely independently. So Duncan and I work closely together. We're officially structured under the same PCC, but to all intents and purposes, we basically feel very separate. We've got a largely independent sense of identity, different sets of relationships, such that most of us know each other quite well, but don't really know anybody at Holy Trinity, and vice versa. Although Duncan and I work closely together, Trinity at Four have got our own staff team that don't have anything really to do with Holy Trinity in the morning. Along with that, we also have independent finances and governance structures. Now, as I step into Duncan's role, we will work towards a united future, a united sense of identity, not Trinity at Four and Holy Trinity as basically two different churches, but rather just Holy Trinity with a variety of congregations and services. United relationships, united staffing, united finance. Now, a clarification, we're not planning to kind of merge the two congregations at one time. We'll continue to have a morning and an afternoon congregation, and over time, I'm sure, other congregations perhaps as well. But we'll work hard to create much more overlap, such that someone attending Trinity in the morning or Trinity afternoon would basically feel like this is the same church meeting at different times. I hope that in due course, a group from Trinity at Four might feel called to make the morning congregation their regular Sunday service so that we can kickstart a families ministry and children's work in the morning, as well as everything that we enjoy here in the afternoon. And together, I hope that we can work to grow and develop the morning congregation so that it feels like it has in the past, a place that's full of life, that's accessible for every age and stage, children and adults alike. So, uniting together in the same church family. And finally, meeting together in the same church building. Now, as you know, we meet in different buildings at the moment. We moved here about two or three years ago, because we ran out of kind of logistical space, particularly for the kids' work over at Holy Trinity. The different buildings actually accentuates the kind of independent identities. But there will be huge benefits of rooting ourselves in the same church building. It'll help to foster our joint identity. It will create greater continuity between Sundays and all of our midweek activities, which currently happen over at Holy Trinity Church. It will be our own space, available anytime through the week. As wonderful and hospitable as Glyn and the folk at Christ Church have been, we get this space just from lunchtime on Sunday till about 6 o'clock. And the amazing thing about the Holy Trinity Church building is that it is almost literally right at the centre of the town that we're called to reach and to serve. Such that if you've got one of the kind of tourist maps of Henley and kind of try to balance it on your finger in the middle, your finger would probably be sitting on Holy Trinity. And probably about 70 or 80% of the entire Henley population live within 15 or 20 minutes walking distance from the Holy Trinity Church building. For 175 years, it's been there building connections in our community, connections that can still be so fruitful for the ministry that Jesus calls us to. And I would love that church building, as we relocate there together, to become a home and a hub. Let me try and explain this. The psychologists say that home is both a place of safety that you return to at the end of the day, and a place of stability from which you then go out to explore the world. And that's what we want for Holy Trinity, to be a home, a spiritual home, a place of safety and nurture, a place we come back to Sunday after Sunday and throughout the week to find rest and community and love, a home for our children, a place where they associate with learning together about Jesus. A home for those who don't feel at home anywhere else, the lonely and struggling in our community. A home for the intergenerational and diverse family that God calls us to be together. A home. But as I said, home is also meant to be a place of stability from which we then go out. And that's that word hub. A hub from which we go into the world to be fruitful for Jesus, to be salt and light in our streets and in our schools, and in all the community groups that we're involved in. But you know, the other thing about Holy Trinity, you know, it's not just in the middle of our town. Henley itself is in the middle of a wider community with lots of surrounding little populations and villages, and many of us come from those places and travel in. Well, I've got a vision of disciples across our region coming together to be taught, encouraged, built up, equipped, and then sent back to the communities where they live, to live for Jesus, to reach out for him. And perhaps God will use a revitalized Holy Trinity to resource new initiatives and groups, even churches in the region surrounding Henley, who also need to hear the good news of Jesus. Well, for that to be possible, we'll need to do a bit of work on the Holy Trinity building. Okay, we don't need anything fancy, but we do need a building that is warm, that has enough self-contained spaces so that we can run the kids' groups on a Sunday and many other things through the week as well. We need a building that can be fruitfully used throughout the week to bless and reach out to our community. Now, of course, that will cost money, but it will be money well spent to facilitate what we actually really care about and what Jesus really cares about, which is people meeting Jesus in a transformative way. So that's the plan. To be one church family, rooted in Jesus, and fruitful for him, serving together with the same vision, uniting together with the same church family, and meeting together in the same building. Two final questions before we open up for Q&A. Why this? And then what next? So why this? Now, I suppose when you're thinking about future plans, in a sense, on a blank piece of paper, there are any number of possibilities that you might think of. There are two particular reasons why this is a plan that, as a leadership team, we felt is the right step for us. First, God has been opening doors. Okay, it's always a good question to ask, where is God going before us opening doors? Okay, when you're thinking, well, we could theoretically do all kinds of things, but where can we see God already at work? And we felt that particularly the timing with Duncan's retirement, the fact that the diocese have been unusually supportive of a process that enables this and will give us security to operate from Holy Trinity for decades to come. And a number of other reasons have just left us feeling that God is opening a door here and that we should follow him. It doesn't mean that he might reveal new things to us as we go. We want to be open to that. But for now, we feel that these are the doors that he's opening to us. So God is opening a door, but also God is bringing us growth. So when Trinity at Falls started, there were about 50 of us, adults and children together. Okay, on an average Sunday, there are now between 120 and 130 of us on an average Sunday. That's just been slow and steady growth over about 5 years. And in our own facilities, we have scope to continue to grow, to root ourselves so that God continues to bring us growth in a way that being in rented facilities, of course, it's much more difficult. So that's the why this. And just as we close, what next? Well, we would love your feedback. These things are not set in stone. They're where we feel the Lord is leading us at the moment. But we would love all of you to be involved in helping us to shape these plans. So there are these glossy booklets, which you can pick up on. A few of you might have already got one, but they're all on the table on the way out. And this will give the plans in slightly more detail. And there's an email address there that you can send any thoughts or comments back to. We're going to email out a little kind of Google survey to you all tomorrow. We'd love to have your thoughts on that as well. So give us feedback. You've also got a little card that you came in with, and indeed pens scattered along the pews. What we would love is before you leave today, just pick up one of those pens. We'll leave a moment a bit later on. And just your gut reaction. Okay, what do you feel kind of excited, positive about? What are the niggles? What are your concerns? Maybe one of each. Just so that we can get your gut reactions. We want to listen well and understand where we're all kind of at. So that's feedback. And prayer. Our passage, we read, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Okay, unless we are seeking the Lord in prayer, then we are in trouble. So please pray. And again, in the booklets, it spotlights a few specific times in the week where you might come together to pray for some of these plans and other things as well. So feedback, prayer. And then the final thing to say is money, giving. So clearly, to do some work at Holy Trinity will cost some money. It's likely that actually that's not going to be until a little bit later in the year, probably the start of 2025. We've got to kind of get the plans together, do all the feasibility work, which we're doing at the moment, and then kind of consult widely on the plan. So probably nine months, 12 months before we start a major fundraising exercise for that part of this project. Before that, we're going to have to work together just to balance our books on our regular budget. So I've asked our finance team to do a little presentation for us next week, just to give us a kind of heads up on how we're doing on just our regular kind of income and outgoings, kind of status quo church budget. We're a little bit behind, and we would love to kind of get back up to where we need to be on that over the next 9 months or so. So we're in a really solid place to do the exciting part of spending a bit of money on the building to make it a real home and a hub for us. So that's the final thing. Feedback, prayer, and money. A bit more on that next week. Well, let's just close by looking at that verse again. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll explain what we'll do next. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus came to us with good news, that we can be reconnected into this life-giving relationship with you. A fruitful relationship. Lord, we long to be fruitful for you now and for many years to come. And so we long to be rooted together in Jesus. We pray that these plans we've talked about might be a means that you use to enable that in our community. And we submit them to you and pray that your will might be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to turn to the person next to you, have a chat for 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe use the questions on the cards. You know, what are you most excited about? What are your kind of immediate concerns? Use it as an opportunity to generate any questions. Okay, and then there's the link again for the questions. So pop any questions on the Slido, or feel free to put your hand up in a couple of minutes. In 2 minutes, we'll open up for any questions. We'll address any of those. But have a chat for a couple of minutes first to have a get the brains ticking along.